Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I just want to share a little something about my testimony. Before I got saved, I was addicted to drugs, and I ended up with a condition from the drugs where it was almost like schizophrenia, and I lived in torment for a really long time. I went to Teen Challenge, and I was there for about 6 months, and I still continued to deal with being attacked by the enemy. And I went to this church that his dad was pastor at, and there was a pastor that was preaching, and I'd been faithful to the Lord. I'd been reading his word, and probably been about a year, that I was struggling with this. And I just remember asking the Lord constantly to heal me from it. And one day, his name's Pastor Bob, in the middle of his message, he looked at me and he pointed at me and he said, "The Lord is healing your mind right now." And at that moment, God healed my mind and he delivered me.
It's good.
And I have not dealt with that. And so this song means a lot to me. You know, it's not by our own works, and we can't share his glory, because everything that he does it out of love and mercy. And he's so good to us, and he's so faithful. And so I just wanted to share that whatever you're faced with, continue to trust in him, continue to cry out to him, and don't give up. Amen. Don't give up hope.
Good.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Well, since we're singing songs about glorying, you know, giving glory to the Lord, and you know, after Lacey's testimony, you know, I had a really bad headache, and it was really bad. And I started feeling sorry for myself, like, what is this going to say about my testimony before the Lord? Because I believe in healing. And pastors, my thinking was stinking, that's what it was. And my pastor said, "It's all about the Lord, not about you." And that's what I was making. It was about me, my testimony, and what will people think, and how can I teach these things if I don't live it? And so anyways, I went to the doctor, and they said I had this condition. And I asked her if it was permanent, and she said, "It's permanent, but it can be managed by drugs." And the drugs they gave me was affecting me really negative. So I didn't take any drugs, and the pain was really, really bad. And after about 3 weeks, that's when the pastor wrote to me and told me that. And I really started standing on God's word and really giving it to him and giving him all the glory. And we had an in-home doctor visit a couple days ago. And when I told him what I had, I mean, this is what kind of jogged me. I thought I just got healed, but it was a miracle. Come on. And he just looked at me when I told him what I had. He said, "He's never, ever seen anyone who has recovered from having this with no pain." Amen. And I just give all the glory to God. And as soon as I realized that it was about God, that's when I got healed. Amen. So anyways, I give all the glory to God.
Praise God. I just want to read a scripture that's really been standing out to me as of late. And the scripture is out of Acts, and it's 2:42. And I thought it's word for the church. And this is right after the Holy Spirit came upon the people of Pentecost, and Peter had just got done giving his message. And at that point, it says that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. This is right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
So this is the part that has really been on my heart. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the birth of the new church. This was really Jesus's church. And what I see with this is that the reason it grew is because everyone was of common mind. Everyone was going in the same direction. They couldn't get enough of each other. And they couldn't get enough of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon them. There was an excitement in the air. There was an excitement in their hearts. This was a time that the signs and wonders, they didn't know what that meant. But yet, they placed themselves in this wonderful place. What does God have for us next? Not ever knowing what it might be. Today, we can read all the wonderful stories of the things that happened. But at that time, this is a brand new body that's saying, all I care about is being around Jesus, his Holy Spirit, and around those that are of the same heart as mine. So I just put that out to you today. Can we try to get back to that place? Can we get some excitement? Can we get our hearts to be in the mind of Christ? And maybe then we'll start seeing numbers added to our church. Thank you.
Just real quick, I was reading last night and Psalms 50, 23 came to mind. And it just reminds me of just this morning. It's so beautiful. It's like a family gathering. I just love it. And the psalm says that he who offers a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving honors the Lord. And that's all that we're doing. We're honoring the Lord. If you're going through something, you can do it at your home. You can give him a praise of sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and you're honoring him. If you're honoring him, if you want to honor him, give him a praise. Give him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And when I started doing that last night, like all of my concerns of my kids and my grandkids and what one particular grandson is going through, all of that was falling off of me. All of the negative thoughts, all of the things that I was fearful of, I just was giving him a sacrifice of praise. And he was filling me and renewing me and giving me peace. So again, Psalms 50, 23, offer him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and you will honor him.
Never fails. When she comes up, I have to come up, I guess. You know, when I think about the Lord, my grandfather was a man of God. And when my dad started growing up, and when I was born, he wasn't a Christian. He was so upset with the Lord because the way they treated his father. He would see that people would slap him. He wouldn't do nothing. He goes, "Dad, hit him back. Hit him back." And he won't hit him back. He goes, "We can't. I just got to love him." So he was so really irate, and he was mad at the Lord. He left the Lord, started drugs. I wanted you guys to know, when you hear a power of, when you hear a testimony, it's because the Lord wants to do it again. So if you're struggling with this, say, "Lord, I'll take that testimony for me or for my house." So anyway, as we were growing up, at the age of 3, I started drinking, started smoking. And the reason is because my dad wanted to put wanted me to get me all drunk, put me top of the table so his friends could see me fall down and everything else. And so me and my brother were drinking and smoking. And we're 3 years old. My parents will leave, won't come back for about 3 days. My sister would be like our mom. And I remember just sitting there in a dark room. She's hugging us, and we're scared, and we're crying. And I was just a little kid. I didn't know nothing. You know, so I'm there just, you know, just hustles going through my mind and everything else. And they would finally come back after 3 days. I remember my sister was teaching me how to talk, and she used to stutter. And I remember that her mom would come home, and I go, "Mom, I want some agua." She goes, "It's agua." I go, "No. Esther told me it's agua." So I thought that's the way you said agua. I thought you had to, you know, do it like that. You know, so I started studying for a while. But then I can't say the whole testimony, so I'll go a little bit forward. I remember that the state came in, they took my sister away because of the condition of the house. And they gave her to my aunt to raise. And at that time, we went to go see her at my aunt's house. And we got there, and my dad took her a present. We were all excited to see her. And she's crying. She goes, "I don't want your present." And my dad was a bit upset. He goes, "What do you mean you don't want my present? Dad, all I want you to do is go to church with me tonight. That's all I want. Just go to church with me. That's it." He goes, "I don't want to go to church." And so then finally we went home, and he was all mad, and my mom and dad were fighting and hitting each other. And then finally about 6 o'clock at night, he goes, "Get ready. Where are we going?" "We're going to church." And so we went to church that night, and we're sitting way in the back, and the minister's preaching. All of a sudden, my dad's hitting my mom. He goes, "You told him about me, huh? You told that man everything about me, huh?" "I didn't tell him nothing." They call him Tete. "Tete, I don't know him. I don't know him." I mean, God was revealing his life to him over and over and over. And so he got us all up. We got into the car. We went home. And it was a revival. So we went back the next day. And it was so crazy because he wanted to go. And I know it was the Lord setting him up. So the next day we went to church. And same thing, he's hitting my mom. He's all mad again. We took off again. And then the third day, we went to church. But before this, I got to tell you this. I used to have a mouth that was so big. I used to cuss like crazy because that's the way I was brought up. You know, and I mean, those were just things that I would say. And I was mean. I mean, I was very mean because that's the way I was brought up. In other words, if I was at school and I got into a fight and I came home and I lost, I better go back over there and try to do it again, because if not, I'm going to get beat up at home. So go back over there and you beat that kid up till you come home. So that's the way I was brought up. I was very mean. I mean, I would take out knives on people and this and that. So I tell people, I don't know why she even married me. I remember when we were at Jack in the Box, and this one little Volkswagen cut in front of us, and we're in line. I go, "No way." I got off the car, and this guy pulls a gun out of me. I go, "Dude, you better use that gun." I go, "You never take out a gun of somebody unless you use it." And I go, "Why'd you marry me? I was crazy." I was crazy. See, when I think about the Lord, he's turned me around. Oh, my God. You know, he's turned me around. You know, so anyway, the last day we go to church, and my dad got up to leave, and for some reason, he couldn't turn his feet. It just came straight up to the front. And he gets on his knees, and he starts crying. And he said, "God, forgive me." He goes, "But look at my kids. Look at my wife. What am I going to do now?" He said when he got up, he turned around, and we're all crying. Everyone was with our hands raised up. That's what God does. May God save us. I mean, God save the whole family. You know, and that's what God wants to do with you guys today. And one thing I've been wanting to do for the longest time, Pastor might get mad at me, but it's okay. It's okay. I love you, Pastor. You know what I want to do right now, and I've been wanting to do this for quite a while. Everyone that has not received their total healing in their body, come up real quick. I want my wife to come up because she hasn't got total heal from this side, her left side yet. If you're struggling with something, come up. Because this is what the God tells us, lay your hands upon the sick and they will recover.
That's good.
So how are they going to recover if they don't come up? What are you struggling with? What is it in your life that's in your body that you need healing from? It's time. It's time for God to release. You know what? We want to see this church packed. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to take miracles after miracles. And people are going to come to this place and say, you know what? Something's happening in that place. Something's happening in that place. Come on up. Receive your healing today. All the altar people, come on up. All the altar people, come on up. Do we have any oil, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're going to anoint you with oil, Pastor John, and whoever's up, you know, can help me out up here. Just get some oil and just anoint everybody. The Bible tells it is the anointing of oil that breaks the yoke. Breaks that yoke of infirmity, whatever you're struggling with. And right now, God, Jesus went to the cross for your healing. He already paid for it. You're already healed. You're not working for your healing. You're working from your healing. And we're going to thank the Lord because you know what? It is time. We're going to thank the Lord for what he did. You know what? You know who gets the glory for your healing? Jesus does. Because he paid for it. So today we're going to go ahead and we're going to anoint you to break every yoke of infirmity in your body. And we're going to manage to leave and to never come back in the name of Jesus Christ.
Something I wanted to share, as John, all of them were speaking. I remember, it reminded me of when we started the church and God started talking to me about being a worship leader. I remember I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm not qualified for that. There's people who could do all these things over me. And when he talked to my dad, I remember just being at this point where he's like, okay, like, it's not only me. Like, you talk to him too. And I was telling him, like, you gotta show me that this is what you have. And one of the things that stepping into a position that you feel unready for teaches you is how to rely on him. And I just want to share with you this morning, this song, I love singing this song even around the house, just with no music even, because when we think about the Lord and we think about what he's done for us, it really is an amazing thing. It's sometimes when we start, especially when, I don't know, when it's been years and years that you've been saved, sometimes we get into this funk. And it's good to think about how far we've come.
Yeah, come on.
And all the things that he's done in our lives, all the little things matter. They were stepping stones in your life. And they will continue to be stepping stones as you move forward. And I remember I became the worship leader. And sorry, I'm crying. I can't really control it. I'm just crying like crazy. But there were a lot of times during doing this that I definitely felt like just unworthy. Like, God, there's so many people that could do this better than me. Why did you put me in this position, this particular position? And I remember talking to my dad about it. Dad, I don't know if I should be the one doing this. Like, I don't know. It's so hard. And I remember God speaking a word to me. And it was simple. But I was reading about Moses. And in that story, when he's going through telling God all the reasons why he's not qualified to go speak on his people's behalf, God tells him, I am the I am. And I remember at first just being like, oh my goodness. I know that you can do all things, but God, like, this is so hard. And I remember him just giving me a comfort because he said, it's not you, it's me and you. So if you just keep going after me, I am the creator. I am your father. I am the friend. I am your counselor. I am your teacher. I am all things that you need when you need them. And that's what we have to remember. We have to remember, regardless of what we're going through and when we're going through it, he is the I am. He has all things in his hands. He has everything under control. And it's not you who gives healing. It's not you who has to do anything. Just like Steve was saying, all you have to do is know that it's him who provides the healing for you. All you got to do is know that it's him who will do those things in your life if you continue to go after him. It's him who's the healer. It's him who's the counselor. It's him who, just like Lacey was saying, if you have, and I don't know, just like Rick said, if somebody's dealing with drugs, let me tell you, I think this has come up a lot today. And I know that if you are dealing with something, it's not you who has to figure it out. It's not you that has to try to let it go. Just go after him and he will set you free. He'll begin to speak to you. He'll begin to show you things in his word. When we really, really are focused on something, our minds can sometimes find all the reasons why. This isn't bad. This isn't, you know, I got control. I know what I'm doing. It's nothing. You know what I mean? And sometimes we can justify in our minds those things. But as you go after God, he'll begin to speak to you on those things. The things that you keep telling yourself, this isn't that much of a problem. This isn't that much. He'll begin to tell you, but are you spending this time? Where is your focus at? He'll begin to set you free in ways that you don't understand because it's not you, it's him in you. He begins to give you words that you can no longer just be like, no, no, no. It begins to speak to your heart and you have an understanding. You have what you need to let go of what's controlling you. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. If you don't feel like you're enough, like you can't do it, like you can't, just listen to the words of this song and enjoy it, because he will do all things. He is everything you need in every moment that you need it. There's never a time that you're going to come against something that he can't take care of for you. He has it all in his hands, every single part of it. Even when we think like it's something simple, like, God, I'm just sad and I can't stop being sad. He can help with it. He can. Even though it seems little to you, it's not little. If it feels like if it's got a control on you, if you feel like you can't control it, if you feel like I can't step out of this, if you feel any of those feelings at all, know that he has an answer for it. That he has exactly what you need, because he tells us, I am the I am. I am everything that you need. I am all things that you need in your life. You don't gotta turn to the left. You don't gotta turn to the right. You don't need to go to those separate groups of people to find answers. You don't need to search for it anywhere else, because if you search with me, I will give you every single thing that you need. He has it all. Every part. Which is why this song is so great. Because you'll begin to see in your life, as you go after him, you'll begin to see things in your life happen that when you turn around and you look back, you go, man, God, I couldn't have done that without you. It was all you. Because there's things in your life that you really don't have answers for. But if you allow him to move in your life, you'll begin to see that you don't have to have all the answers. He will give you everything you need.
Everybody's been giving a testimony about how good God is. I just got to give you mine. I praise God. I'm taking care of the women's ministry. And for me, I don't know why God put me here, but I know he did. I know the scripture that my husband said about the Acts, about the idea that they would gather together and break bread. He gave me that scripture when I started out the women's ministry. And when we do it on Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock in the morning, we break bread. We do it once a month. We get women together. We break bread. And this is what he told me to do. And I've been seeing, it's not like Rebecca said, it's not us. It's not my ability. It has nothing to do with my ability because I have none. But I just said yes. All I can do is say yes. And then he flows. He flows. And I've seen him work within the women and how we prayed for peace. And I see the peace that they've been talking about. I see what he's doing. And it breaks my heart with pride, with glory, with him, because the women are not the same as they were. As long as they say yes to him, God will do miraculous things. So I thank him. It's like we need to give our testimonies. We need to show people how great he is, because without him, we wouldn't know what to do. And so I just wanted to let everybody know, I thank you, the women that have been coming, and I know that God has touched you. I know that you're not the same when you first started out. And I give glory to God, and I humble myself because I know it's nothing to do with me. It has only to do with him.
Oh, our time. Let's give him a praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, John. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Man, my fingers feel like they're on fire. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I knew it was going to be a little different today, but man, it is different today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Feel that? Been to church already. Amen. Praise God. Can I get my Bible from you, Steve? It's right there in the corner, I think. Right.
Praise God. Thank you.
No? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Hey, by any chance, hey, Abe, can you kill the lights right there, man? They're super bright. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed that this morning? Praise God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that God has a lot for you, and thank you, Brother Rick, he says the pastor's going to get mad at him. I don't think so. I don't think so. No, there it is. I was looking for John's marks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I mean, I love that song, When I Think About the Lord. Quite a few years ago, my son was just learning to play keyboards, and there was some traveling evangelists, I guess, that would go to Mexico, and they were Jim Newkirk family, isn't that right, Rosie? Jim Newkirk, where you at, babe? Jim Newkirk, right? Yeah, and the Newkirk family, and he called me up one day. I was raking out in the yard, but I told you guys I love to rake because it doesn't take a lot of this to rake. Amen. Hallelujah. And it comes out nice, isn't that right, son? How many of you like raking your yard? Yeah, none of you. Okay. Okay, me and Rosie, we're weird. Yeah, come on, man. Stella, you like it. Come on, see? Men and women of God, come on, break your yard. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. But hey, I was out raking, and the Lord gave me a scripture. It says, I will make room for you.
How many of you have seen that scripture? It said, he that loves the Lord, he will make room for you. And I said, man, praise God. And it wasn't too long after that, Brother Jim Newkirk gave me a call, and he goes, hey, Henry, he says, we're going to go to Texas. We're going to go to the Christ for the Nations Institute. And I know Steve knows that. Yeah, Steve's a Christ from the Nations Institute student there. And he's going, we're going to go to CFNI, and we want to take Jonathan. We feel like God is telling us to take your son with us. And my son's like 13, 14, Habib, a little guy. I said, well, I don't know, Steve. I mean, I don't know, Jim. For some reason, I picked up Steve. Anyway, I don't know, Jim. Let me pray about it, man, you know. And what I didn't realize, the Lord already spoke that scripture to me, so I'll make room for him. But I said, you know what? Okay. I think, and I talked to Rosie, and I would say, yeah, let's let them go, because they're a good family. They had like 8 kids, isn't that right? And he goes, well, we're traveling. We're not taking everybody, but just the musicians. He had a family full of young musicians. We're just going to take those with us. And he says, so basically, we're going in my pickup, and I've got a camper, and they're going to be riding in the back of the camper. I go, what? I said, man, all the way to Texas, bro? Can you imagine that ride? How many would you like to ride in the back of a camper in a pickup? All the way to Texas. I'm not sure. Where is CFNI? Steve, where are you? What city is CFNI, Steve? He left. Praise God. Got mad at me. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's in Dallas, but I'm not sure. So I said, all right, go ahead, man. So, Steve, what city is CFNI in?
Dallas,
Texas. Okay. So Jim calls me up. They get to Dallas, and Jim says, bro, we got here. We had our apartment that we were supposed to stay in, because it was a week-long thing. So we had our apartment, and they don't have an apartment for us. They gave it to somebody else. I said, what? So now you're driving a pickup. Now there's no place for my kid to sleep over there. Is that right? But in a pickup, right? And so I'm getting a little, however dads get, you know how that is. What? Are you kidding me, man? So I said, Lord, what's going on? Why did you allow us to let him take our son over there? Well, turns out that one of the main speakers called in, couldn't make it. So they gave that group, it was one of the best suites that they had for the speakers. So, and when he called back, he goes, hey, Henry, guess what? I go, what? He goes, the Lord made room for us. And that's when I remembered the scripture that the Lord had told me, I will make room for them. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he came back, he told me, he said, say, Dad, I want you to hear this song. And I said, okay. And he plays it. And it was out of Christ for the Nations Institute. It was a song we just got through singing. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how he healed me to the uttermost. Do you know that you're healed? Do you know? Hallelujah. We used to sing that song when we would sing it, and we said, he picked me up, and we'd go like this, and turn me around. You guys, that's the way we would sing that song all the time. When my son could play it really cool on the keyboards. Loved it. But I found out that God's knew all about it, had let me know. How many know that? How many know God knows about all your problems? Is that right? He said, man, I know it all, man. He said, God says, I've got it. I've got you. Is that right? Doesn't matter what you go through, whatever you've got to navigate, God's going to take you through it. Is amen? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to try to get you out of here early. Amen? Praise God. How many say, man, I've already been in church. Come on, man. I feel that way. Praise God. And Brother Rick, thank you, man. See, this is what we do here. See, folks, you got me and, you know, Brother Rick said, I hope I don't make Pastor mad. Come on, man. He knows me. I'm a madman. Yeah, that I get mad. No, it's not that way. This is what we do here. We allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? And if it's on your heart, you say, hey, man, you know, I feel like God wants us to dance. How's that? We'll just say dance. I mean, get up and dance. Amen? Hallelujah. God wants us to do this. God wants us to pray for the sick. Get up and say it and allow us to enter in with you. Amen? Hallelujah. I thought it was nice. I saw a big crowd up here. Amen. You're healed. It's a fact. It is not only is it a fact, it's a truth. God says, hey, man, I've done it all for you. You're whole and complete. So speak to your bodies. Speak to your bodies. I don't bring up that old guy. You know what I'm talking about? I don't bring him up a lot because he wants to be brought up. Do you hear me that? Do you hear, listen, that's why he got kicked out of heaven, because he wants to be exalted. So I keep him out of my vocabulary. Is that okay? Or you guys are okay with that? I don't even give him the time of day. So why? For what? Amen? Just tell your body, hey, respond to the word of God. This is what God's word says. It's the truth. And I will live by truth. Amen? How many know it's important that you live by faith? Is that right? Do you understand that? You live by faith. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I better get going if we're going to get you out of here by noon. What time is it? Holy moly. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hey, can you put up Daniel 2:20? Start 2:20 verses, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. This is the power verse, and I just really feel a need to say it this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Seems, the screen seemed to be off. Is that true? Hallelujah. Here we go. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings." Is that amen? How many know that? He removes kings and sets up kings. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. It's God. God does it. It's not your vote. Come on. Oh, you got to hear me. He sets up. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings, sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He, listen, let everybody say, he reveals deep secrets. Everybody say that. He reveals deep secrets, the deep secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. How many say amen to that? You know, he knows what's in the darkness. He knows what's out there. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I've said this before. I've said a lot of times that God dwells in the darkness. How many say amen? Amen. Hardly anybody say, yeah, but he does. He really does. And it's not in his dark, because he is light. How many say amen to that? God is light. How can light, God dwell in the darkness? Well, see, he dwells in the darkness because we don't understand a lot about him. So that's kind of a darkness to us. Amen? So he dwells in that darkness, and he wants to bring light into the darkness that we have. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, God, you're being contradictory. No, it's not. Because our understanding, he's trying to enlighten us. Is that okay? He's trying to bring light to us. Hallelujah. So what the name of the sermon today is Seeing in the Dark. Is it okay? Seeing in the dark. Do you know that God wants you to see things you've never seen before? Do you know that he wants you to hear things you've never heard before? So praise God. I'm going to take you to John chapter 12, verses 37 through 40. Hallelujah. But though he had done so many miracles before them, this was Jesus, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes." Can I tell you, those Pharisees could see, right? They could see. They saw Jesus do the miracles he did. Amen? But it says that God says, he says, "Therefore, he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart and be converted. And I would heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be thrown out of the synagogue." Is that crazy? They were more worried about people than they were about God. Can that be some of us sometimes? Maybe. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, 'He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me.' And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. How do you like that? Amen. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. God, see, God does not want you to abide in darkness. He wants to show you things. Is that cool? That's all right. Natural vision requires light. How many say amen to that? How many have been in a dark? How many, anybody here ever been spelunking? Is that the word? Yeah. And you turn off your light in a cave, is it dark? Does it get really dark? Come in. I mean, and is not natural vision, does it not require light? It does. It has to have light. Spiritual vision also requires light, but it requires something different. It requires, Jesus said, if you believe on me, you've seen the Father. If you believe on him. Spiritual vision requires belief and light. But how many know that Jesus is the light? Amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. Can we say those might be the Pharisees? The light shined in the darkness, but they didn't get it. How many say amen? Aren't you glad you got it? Aren't you glad he's enlightened you a bit? Aren't you glad that he's poured revelation into you? You know that? Do you know that unless he draws you, you can't get to him? Do you know that? So his act of love for you is a drawing thing. He's going to draw you closer and closer. The closer you get to him, the more light you're going to have. Amen? The more understanding, the more... The more, how many say I want more? Amen. Okay, praise God, hallelujah. We all need vision, amen? Can I tell you, every one of us have to have vision. Is that right? Hallelujah. Anybody say that their vision's not getting, not as good as it was when you were a teenager? Well, God can fix that too, amen? How many know that I got a crazy eye here? I look at kids and I say, hey, come here, man. And they're going, who, me? Who, me? Yeah, because I got two eyes going this way. Hallelujah. It's kind of fun. But you know what? But I'm going to tell you something. I'm ready for this eye to be healed. I'm ready because it's already healed. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Amen? That God's, because God's word is true. If you're going to believe anything, you might as well believe God. Amen? Stick with God. Amen. Hallelujah. We all need vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this. Where there is no vision, what? What? Where there's no vision, people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. I spoke a little bit on Wednesday about to the group that was there and shared a little bit about my testimony. Last night, the Lord said, I want you to share your testimony because people need to hear what I've given you. How many say amen to that? That's what I'm about tonight. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you a little about vision. I was a youth pastor at First Assembly of God up the street here. And Rosie and I served there for 14 years, and I enjoyed youth pastoring, loved it. Amen. I loved youth pastor. I loved young folks. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if I like senior. I mean, I'm not sure if I like being a senior pastor of a church when I compare it to the youth of a church. I had a friend telling me, he tells me this all the time. He says, being a senior pastor of a church is like herding cats. Amen? How many ever herded cats? How many of you know cats don't do anything that you want them to do when you want them to do it? They'll do it on their own time. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, anyway, I it was right before I became a youth pastor there. I had taken on the job and everything. And so my pastor says, you know, I'm going to send you up to Tucson, go to Tommy Barnett's church. They put on these leadership conferences and youth pastor conferences. So he would send me up there twice a year. And every time I'd go up there, I'd hear these words, without a vision, people perish. And they would ask us, they would say, hey, all right, guys, we're going to get you in a group. Yeah, let everybody make a group of five or six guys, you know, whatever. So we'd all get in a group. And they'd say, all right, we want you to tell us your vision. And I'd go, oh, I don't know. I don't know what my vision is. I don't know. So all these guys had all these great stuff that they were saying. They get to me and they say, well, Henry, what's your vision? So I made one up. How do you say amen? I said, well, and it really was something I wanted to see, but I go, well, God, I want to see the kids in my high school saved. And that's a good, man, isn't that good? That's not bad. But it wasn't really something God had planted within my heart. I mean, it was just something that I just said that. So I came home with this thing. I said, man, that was pretty lame. I mean, say, everybody go, yeah, it was lame. Yeah, it was lame. And then it just so happened, I don't know why, the teachers were different, but every time I was up there, they asked, tell us your vision. Vision. So I'd say the same thing, my made up, out of Henry, vision. So one day I come back and I said, God, you've got to give me a vision. Because I had read a scripture, and that scripture was this, Matthew 15, 14. This is a scripture I read, and it said this. As soon as he gets it up so I can read it to you. I got 30 minutes, guys. Just so you know that. Hey, guys, I only got 30 minutes. It's okay. Hallelujah. Technical problems. Here's the scripture. Jesus said this, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Amen? And he said, if the blind lead the blind, they shall teach. And I the word of God says, without a vision, people perish. They fall in the ditch. So I'm looking at that. I go, oh, God, you got to give me a vision. God, you got to give me a vision. Because this scripture right here hit me like, it doesn't seem like much, but at that time, it hit me like somebody threw a rock at me and hit me. And I'm saying, God, you got to give me a vision, God. You got to give me a vision. You got to give me a vision. I'm crying out to God. I had fasted. I had been fasting. I had been doing everything that I knew how to do. Hallelujah. No vision. No vision. And there was a scripture. I want you to look at this one. I mean, I'm going to put this up. There is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3. Just put this up real quick. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go forth to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. How many of you get that? It's kind of a weird scripture, isn't it? But anyway, go back to the other one for right now. I've been asking God, I said, God, you got to give me a vision. You got to give me a vision. And nothing. So I started threatening God. How many ever threatened God? God, if you don't, I started telling him, look, God, I do not, and my heart was really, I mean, God, I do not want to be responsible for a bunch of teenagers falling into the ditch. Isn't that right? I got some of them teenagers. Hey, raise your hand over there, guys. Come on, man. These guys were in my, where are you at, Becca? And these guys were in my youth group. And I said, God, I don't want to be responsible for these kids not finding the way, falling in a ditch and not knowing how to get out. I don't want to be responsible. I can't be responsible for that, God. I'm up at work and I'm in a compressor room. I used to work on compressors at the mine. I was their compressor guy. And I'm in this. And what I liked about those compressor rooms, I could yell at the top of my voice and nobody'd hear me. Isn't that right, John? They're loud. So I'm in there. I got my muffs on and I'm saying, God, you got to give me a vision. And then I said this, if you don't give me a vision, this Sunday, I'm going to walk up to pastor and tell him, I can't do this anymore. Because I won't be responsible for that, God. No way. I kept saying that word, God, without a vision, people perish. Can I tell you, every one of us in the room needs a vision, one way or another from God. Do you understand that? Because he has so designed you in particular. You are special. There's nobody else like you. And he has something for you that nobody else has. If he takes you home tomorrow, that he had for you today would never have been seen. Isn't that crazy? Because he's that definite in his design that he made you in. Do you understand that? He loves you. So anyway, I said, Lord, I said, I can't do it. And then this scripture, you put that Isaiah. This Isaiah scripture was let them, now, the where it says, he went and talked to Jehoshaphat. And he said, go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller field. Every time I would read the Bible, I was trying to read the Bible once a year. How many of you want to read the Bible? How much do you read the Bible? I would try to get it done in a whole year, the whole thing. I still try to. I still try to go through the Bible in a year, but I was getting it done in a year. I'd read through the whole Bible in a year without one of those programs where you read here, you read there. It was just straight through reading, And every time I got to the scripture, it was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3, I would sense the Holy Spirit. I would feel something. But I'd stop and I'd say, and I'd go, what's going on here? I saw this scripture. I'd look and I'd feel the Holy Spirit. So I'd look around and say, God, what are you showing? What are you showing me? What are you showing me? That was my word. What are you showing me? And then I finally said, whatever. And I just kept on going. God was saying something to me and I didn't know what he was saying. He was revealing something to me. I didn't know what he was revealing. Is that okay? But here I'm in the midst of I'm in a place where I'm asking God, you got, and I threatened him and I said, I'm going to quit on Sunday. And I heard him say to me, read the rest of the verse, is what he said. And I said, okay. So I know I'm taxing you a bit, man. So if you go back to Proverbs 29, it said this, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. The Lord said, read the rest of the verse. I said, okay. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. And I said, well, Lord, nobody can keep the law. So what's that good to me? What good is that to me? I mean, like your conversations with Jesus. I love it, man. I said, well, God, what is that to you? And then he says, yeah, Jesus kept my law. Woo, all of a sudden, I said, my vision. There it is. It's Jesus. My vision is Jesus. Whoso keeps the law, happy is he. Jesus kept the law. I had in my mind all these scriptures of where Jesus was sinless. I said, oh, man, Jesus is my vision. Amen. Praise God. One told pastor, hey, pastor, I was praying for a vision, remember? He goes, yeah. I said, well, God gave me a vision. Yeah. He says, oh, yeah, what was it? He goes, I said, Jesus. He looked at me. He goes, Jesus? I go, yeah. He goes, Okay, that's cool. And after I talked to him, I walked away kind of thinking, it is kind of funny, isn't it, that my vision is Jesus? How many of your visions Jesus? No? It wasn't really, it's a without a vision, people perish. All right, cool. So now I'm happy. Now I'm fired up. I said, well, I got me a vision, amen. If I get back up to Phoenix, as soon as they ask me, I'm going to tell them, Jesus is my vision. Jesus. Well, I'm in that compressor room a few days later, and I'm happy, praising God, singing and everything. Hallelujah. And I'm standing next to a compressor. And I was working on it. And on the wall next to that compressor, there is a bunch of piping. There is conduit coming in. On that wall, there's water piping coming in, air piping going out, all of these pipes. And it's just a mass of stuff on the wall. But I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I just happened to glance up, and that whole wall was like somebody had just sheetrocked it and painted it. It was like a canvas. And I'm looking at it, and I go, when did that happen? I said, I don't understand. I'm looking at it, I go, man, who did that? And then I saw something. This scripture where it says, Isaiah 7, where it says this, then the Lord said unto Isaiah, go forth to meet Ahaz, thou Sherasib, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. What I saw first was the picture of a lake. So we're going to try to draw it for you, so kind of see my vision, but it's pretty not really. It's basic. How's that sound? So here's my lake. How's that? You like my lake? Notice the trees. Yeah, every lake's got a tree. That's why that lake up in Arizona, what's it called? It's got no trees at all. Pleasant. Not Pleasant, but does not Lake Pleasant not have any trees? No. Lake Powell? Yeah. Well, here's the lake, and I see this. This is what I see. I'm in that room. I'm looking at the wall, and I see this like a wall, like a lake. And then I see this like a pipeline coming out of that lake. It looks like that. How's that? And I'm looking at it, and then next thing I see is there's a man there. There's a man standing there. Boom, there he is. Looks kind of like all of you, right? Ladies and gentlemen, it's you. Yeah. And then I see a field. Can you get that in there with that? Yeah. He's tapping the computer. He's freaking out. I see a field. And what's kind of crazy, there was actually nothing in that field, it was just kind of bare. But you notice the black road going right through it? Now I want to take you back to Isaiah 7. Sorry, Abe, I know I'm taxing you here a little bit. Our computer system is. Then said the Lord unto me, I go forth to meet Ahaz, thou and Sherasib, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. So go back to the picture. So here's what I'm seeing up on this wall. I'm seeing this lake, and there's a conduit, like that pipeline. He says to go and stand at the end of the pipeline in the highway of the fuller's field. There's a fuller. How many know what a fuller is? In the Old Testament, how many ever heard of the fuller brush man? Anybody heard of that? It's a person that cleans. Somebody that cleans is a fuller. Yeah. While I was looking at this picture, the water began to run out of the lake, and it ran down into the man. The man opened his mouth, and as he opened his mouth, he began, what was coming out of his mouth began to sprinkle all over these fields. This is the vision I saw. Go and stand at the end of the conduit. In the highway of the fuller's field, and say, it said that, go and stand at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say, God was showing me something that I mean, now all of a sudden, I thought I had a vision, now God has given me a vision. It was an open vision. I was totally awake. I had earplugs and earmuffs on, and this compressor room is loud, and this thing is right in front of me, and I'm looking. When I realized it, I remember the word that I had been looking at, wondering, God, what are you saying to me? See, God had been preparing me for this day. Is that okay? There's a day. God is preparing. He prepares you for a day that he speaks into your heart. And it could be today. It could be tonight. It could be an hour after you're at a church. It could be right now where you're even in the sanctuary. And I'm looking at this, and I start weeping. I said, God, God, I see it, God. And the Lord began to speak to me. It was 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said this, Henry, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I said, Lord, I can preach as long as you're there, Lord. I can be instant in season, I think, you know, as long as you're with me. But God, I don't know about reproving, rebuking, exhorting people because I don't want to do that, God. I can't do that. I don't want to. And the Lord said, stop me. And he said, Henry, just the way I did it for you, just the way I would be with you in your preaching, I will be with you in exhorting. Can I tell you, I went to my pastor and I said, God gave me a vision. He looked at me, another one? I go, yeah. But this, I said, Lord, look at this. My pastor, look at this, look at this. And I showed him everything I just got through showing you. And he looked at me and kind of goes, okay, cool. And I got upset at him. How many of you say amen? Because he didn't understand my vision. He didn't get it. Can I tell you, we do that a lot to one another. Is that right? You get something and you tell somebody else and they don't get it. And you say, yeah, they're not spiritually mature. I'm an old man. Whatever, man. Whatever excuse we use because somebody gets it. But I was coming out. I came out of the pastor's office and I said, he didn't get that, God. What's up? And the Lord said something to me. You didn't get it until I gave it to you. What makes you think that he's going to get it? I said, oh, my God. See, it's a matter of what God calls revelation. Is that okay? God wants to reveal to you the things he has for you. Is that okay? How many of you know it takes belief to have spiritual vision? You got to believe that he has something for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So I called the youth group Upper Pool. Everything's changing, everything. Changed it all around. Now it's Upper Pool and everything. I'm applying what I saw right now. What I didn't realize, it wasn't for then, it was for now. It was for this house. It was for this place. God was going to do something. This thing of opening up like this, can I tell you, it is a growth to go from, let me take that backpack. It is a growth. How many of you know that people just don't start out talking in church? Is that right? It's a growth. Is that right? We teach one another. We help one another to speak in the house so that people can hear what God is saying to us so we can edify in other places where you don't even know where it's going. Amen? Hallelujah. It takes a little bit. But this is the vision of this house. Brother Rick, get up there. Brother Steve, Pastor John, Pastor Stella, Pastor Rebecca. Everybody gets up here and speaks. And that's why we open the floor for all of you, because the fact of the matter is we build one another. We water one another. The watering that God wants to do comes through the body of Christ and comes through his spirit. Amen. As the body of Christ is walking in the spirit, here comes the water. Amen. Hallelujah. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. And he has something for every one of you. Your vision in this house is connected to the house. Can I tell you, when I was praying around this building, before it was even open, it was boarded up. And I'm standing out front. There was an old man pulled in. He goes, hey, man. He goes, is it closed? I said, yeah, it's been closed for about a month or two. You know, he goes, oh, yeah, black, 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 black. And he said, and he turned around and drove off in a little huff. And I'm looking, kind of laugh. That's okay. And I turned around from that street and I looked at the house and the Lord told me, prophesy of the building. Prophesy. I said, God, I don't know what to say. Prophesy? Okay. I opened my mouth and these words came out. So I'm just willing to do whatever God. If I look like an idiot standing out there speaking to this building that was boarded up, nobody around, who cares? Amen. So I just said, Lord, I opened my mouth and said, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying living water into all the city. Amen. God gives vision. Hallelujah. So as I walked, I got all fired up. I walked around the house 7 times that day. This thing is boarded up. I said, open up ye gates, open up you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Amen. Hallelujah. We weren't here probably 3 months, and we had already switched, and we were facing that way. We were only about to right here, playing music, having the time, and during the service, all of a sudden, this rattling in the roof happened. Like somebody's beating on it. What's going on? We had Sunday school in that room like it is now. The door opened, and what went out blew all the flyers and everything that was on the table next to it, because we weren't coming in this door. We're coming in that other door. And it blew everything out. Folks, I believe that morning, whatever was here left. Didn't like it. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? The vision is still in effect. Here's what Habakkuk chapter 2 says. Watch this. This vision is still powerfully in effect, if you know. See, can I tell you, when God gives you a vision, you've always got something to go back to. Can I say that? Sometimes it feels like it's not happening. God, you know what? Me and Rosie, we can just go to California and ride around for 3 months, and, you know, the church isn't happening, God. But see, I always got something to fall back on. It's the vision. What God gives you as a vision is something to hold you and boost you and keep you and hold you. Hallelujah. Woo. Here's what Habakkuk chapter 2 says. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Amen. Habakkuk, a watchman. I will stand up, set me upon the tower. I will watch. I love the words that he uses. I will watch to see what he will say to me. Does he say, I will watch to hear? He says, I will watch to see. See, God reveals things. He opens things up to you so that you can see, folks, in the dark. Where things are dark around you and you can't figure it out. Just go to him and say, God, open things up. Show me what you're doing, God. And you watch, because he's faithful and he loves you. So that will watch and see what he will say to me. And then he says, what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that reads it. See, that's why I'm presenting the vision again today, so that you'll hear and you'll know this is the vision of this house. Can I tell you, I didn't pick this job. I never said, hey, I want to be a senior pastor. God, can I be a senior pastor? I was in youth conferences and they said, how many of you want to be men of God to go around healing people? A bunch of kids would put up there. How many want to be evangelists? A bunch of kids would put up. How many want to be pastors? Kids would put up their hands. I never put my hand up. I don't want to be a pastor. Ain't no way. I watched how people treated my pastor over at First Assembly. I said, no, I don't want to be. I would not take that job. How many say amen to that? How many want this job? Come on, I'm looking for hands here this morning. Anybody want this job? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I said, I never asked for this job. But you see, a year after I got saved, God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. And I speak with tongues, and I pray in the Spirit. I pray for you guys all the time. Oh, you might not know it. You might not hear it. But oh man, I'm praying, Lord, that you would build the body of Christ into mature, that they might be. Like Paul said, man, I pray for you daily till Christ be formed in you. Amen. Praise God. Woo, God. Oh. I can't see that. No. I feel the Lord saying something. Listen, I told the congregation, I said, I never asked for this job. I mean, you guys remember that when I told you that? I said, I never asked for this job. I never asked to be a pastor. I never did. Was on our way home. Rosie was driving. I was falling asleep in the truck. I fell asleep. And then I started speaking in tongues. I woke myself up. How many of you ever woke yourself speaking in tongues? Has that ever happened to you at night? Hallelujah. Sometimes God's got to get you asleep before he can get you to flow. Amen? Come on, man. Hey, just try flowing at any time. But I woke up and I looked at Rosie and she goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Have I been doing that long?" She goes, "No, you just started." And as I closed my eyes to kind of drift off again, this is what the Holy Spirit said. "Oh, Henry, you prayed for that job. You just didn't know you were praying for it." See, the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God. I said, "Lord, I ain't going to pray in the Spirit anymore. I'm done with that. No, get me into stuff I don't know about." No, I didn't say that to him. I wouldn't do that. I would tell you this, man, that God places a vision within you. Watch the rest of the scripture. Watch this. It says that he may run. That reads it. "For the vision is yet for a what? Appointed time." Do we know what those appointed times are? How many of you know that your salvation was an appointed time? Do you remember that? It was an appointed time. God said, "It's time. It's." Aren't you glad? Whoo! I was one the night before. I was in a bar drunk. The next day, it was my appointed time. Ooh, come on! God said, "Hey, man, now it's time. You come into my kingdom and let me show you something that's different." Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, "The vision is yet for an appointed time." Look at this. "But at the end, it will speak. Yeah, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it." Just wait, right? "Behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not right, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by" what? "Faith." Hallelujah. Folks, you know, it's important that you allow God to place his vision within you. If he places if you go after him, he places his vision within you, your vision will work in the house. How many say that? Amen. Isn't that right, Stella? Isn't that right? Is that true, Stella? The vision works in the house, doesn't it? God has placed us together as members of the body of the community of Christ and this house, and he's saying, "Look, let my vision overtake you, and you watch what happens in this house." Amen? Hallelujah. God is desiring to open these things up. Watch this. Watch this in Joel chapter 2, verse 3. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't give you Joel today. Let's just go to Acts. It's the same thing in Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Hallelujah. That's it. This is what Peter is quoting Joel, what he said in the book of Joel. And he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," because they're watching them and they're seeing these guys are praying in the Spirit, and they're speaking in other people's languages, where those people are saying, "Hey, these guys are Galileans. How come they're speaking in Spanish over here?" Right? Yeah. "Hey, these guys are Galileans. They're saying French." You know, whatever. I don't know what all they. It says that they all heard in their own language. Amen. And then Peter stands up and he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon" how much flesh? About what? All flesh. All flesh. "Your sons and your daughters," amen, "will prophesy." Amen. Can I tell you something? When you watch my daughter up here, you are seeing a promise that God has given, not to me, but to all of us, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Their words of God will flow through their lips. My son, my same way. He's a minister in California. He's a music minister. And he is the same way. He flows in the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." This is the part where I like right here. "Your young man shall see vision." See, I saw the vision. It's a young man. Come on, somebody. Say, "Yeah, come on." "And your old man," sorry, Pastor John. You knew it was coming now. He said, "I knew it was coming." He said, "Your old man shall dream dreams." Pastor John's a great dreamer. Praise God.
I had to go to sleep while he was talking.
Yeah, I put him to sleep. He said, yeah, I'm going to have to get a dream. He says, and on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Amen. How many of you like that? Do you want what God has for you? Do you want it? Hallelujah. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall what? Can I tell you something? Prophesying is one of the craziest things you can do. When you can speak on behalf of God to somebody that's down in the dumps, and this thought comes through your mind, and you begin to speak to them, can I tell you how powerful that is to a person that listens to you, that will say, oh, my God. How did you know that? I didn't know it, man. God knew it. God sees you where you're at. How many say amen to that? How many want that? Let me just pray for you this morning. If you want to stand, once you stand, I'm going to pray that God would see your hunger for the things that he has for you. Would you say amen to that? Because I'll tell you something. Every one of us, he's got something for you. He wants to show you just how powerful he is. So listen, let me pray. I'm going to ask you to do this. Just kind of put your hands in the air. It kind of looks like, you know, I remember a song that says, you fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup. You kind of make yourself like a chalice. Hallelujah. And so, Father, you see the desires of the hearts, Father God.
Yes.
I ask you, Father, that you would give them visions and dreams about what you have for them, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in their lives, God. Lord, show yourself strong on their behalf, God. And Lord, as they begin to see what you have for them, Father, I thank you for the strength that flows through the Spirit into their lives, God. I give you praise and glory and honor for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. Wasn't it a wonderful service this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank him for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.